field trip to Columbus, Ohio to go to the lesbian strip club. That was a time. They weren't all strip club based. Really. Those are the ones that are probably the most vivid recollections. We did go see A Mighty Wind together, and I cried like a little baby at the end of that one. I remember that. And, gosh, what else did we do? There was one where we hired a party bus to drive us down to Sparta, Kentucky, to Racers Strip Club, where it wasn't a regular stripper kind of night. Instead, it was the Wii calendar competition, and we basically became celebrity judges for that competition. That was a good time. I think K-Tuff may have been the snack master on that field trip, though. Andy didn't make it on that one. There were so many. But of course, the one that everybody always remembers and wants to talk about the most, and it was definitely a London Taxi extravaganza, was the field trip to the Brass Ass in Newport, Kentucky, where we went to go see the Muppet Stripper. And there were people who we knew that had seen the Muppet Stripper many years before the time we went to go as a group to see her. But she was a true performer. She wasn't just one of those dancers that just, you know, walks around the stage. She put on a show. She had various sets and costumes and did the whole thing. And but the reason we had to go was because we wanted to see her do the Muppet Stripper dance. Wasn't really a dance. She pulled a table out onto the stage. And she would get on that table and lay on her back and put her legs up in the air, spread open. Newport is a full bottom and pasty situation, by the way, just for visual assistance here. Spotlight onto the stripper. Legs up in the air. Suddenly you would see a Bert hand puppet, Bert the Muppet hand puppet, pop up in the air. And you just have to imagine what happened when this started.
Na 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 got a what?
Yeah, what exactly is it there you've got? January fairy, I'm
got a
weenus.
Sure. What's your weenus got to do with me?
Weenus is looking right at you.
Yeah, he is.
We're gearing up for the conquistador corollary, the weenus addendum here at Bubbles in the Think Tank tonight.
Dun, dun, dun.
Doing what we can to get you ready, too. Hopefully it's working.
Hopefully. Immerse yourself in every woman. Huh? Ironic that I picked every woman show.
Ironic.
I don't even try. Featuring the most creative and diverse women's music, interviews, and guest performances. Make your Saturday afternoon special from 1 to 3 p.m. Your hosts Donna and Marsha will take good care of you. And the Unique Advantage Exchange Program is looking for host families for high school foreign exchange students. The UAEP, a nonprofit organization founded in 1998 to promote a more peaceful world through increased cooperation and understanding between cultures, is in need of host families in the months of January and August. Please call the UAEP at 248-634-8415 if you would like more information about hosting a foreign student. And according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, children are not developmentally ready for formal swimming lessons until after their fourth birthday. In the United States, drowning rates are highest among toddlers ages 1 through 2 years old. Whenever infants and toddlers are in or around water, an adult should be within arm's length, providing touch supervision.
Touch. Soothes me just thinking about it.
I like it.
And if you want to soothe yourself this summer, and you got some ideas about how to do it, you probably want to submit a program proposal.
Boy, do you ever.
To get a summer program here at WAIF. The easiest way to go about doing that is to visit the WAIF website online. That's
W in Espanol.
Thank you.
Sure.
WAIF883.org.
Yes.
Or you can always call 513-333-WAIF and request a program proposal. If you do it that way, you will get a voicemail box. Do leave your name, address, phone number, speak clearly, enunciate well. Leave all of the pertinent information and a program proposal will be mailed to you. You'll fill it out, you'll mail it back, and hopefully something good will happen.
Yes.
Like it happens here at Bubbles in the Think Tank every single week.
Aww.
And hopefully you're enjoying it tonight, because I think we're having a good time here tonight, aren't we, January?
I am.
Fairy?
I'm so excited about Positive K. It's been years since that's been on the radio anywhere in existence.
Aww.
I guarantee.
We do what we can for Yay. January Fairy here at Bubbles
Yay.
In the Think Tank. Whenever we can.
Which is often.
We can.
Which is every week.
And we're moving on. More silliness about you men, about you boys.
Mm-mm-mm.
A little something called The Gay Teenager here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.
Well, I was dancing in a nightclub one Friday night. And that nightclub bar was a little uptight. I was dancing all alone, a little self-conscious, when some kids came up and said, "For dancing, come with us." And soon I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Oh, oh. I was dancing in the lesbian bar. Oh, oh, oh. Ready? The industrial zone, they took me to dance with them or dance alone. On the first bar, things were alright, but in this bar, things were Friday night. In the first bar, things were just alright, in this bar, things were Friday night. I was dancing in the lesbian bar, oh, oh. I was dancing in the lesbian bar, took me to the lesbian bar, went downtown. They took me to check the scene or hang around. Well, in the first bar, things were stop and stare, but in this bar, things were laissez-faire. In the first bar, things were stop and stare, in this bar, things were laissez-faire. lesbian bar. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Start getting close to the end of story time, you know. I guess. I don't know. I don't really know. So in that little mess of mix, by the way, this is Bubbles in the Think Tank. I'm Belinda. You're still listening to your freeform radio station, WMFO, not WAIF. No. Don't get confused. No flashbacks here, please. That particular cassette, well labeled with Bubbles in the Think Tank, February 19th, 2001, can't hear callers. So, all the rest of the talking on that tape, you didn't want to hear. But that was the JF, January Ferry, probably her third appearance live in the studio, somewhere around there. I must have her first one somewhere. It's just poor. It's even worsely. It's worsely labeled than that. That's my word of the night. Callers? What are you talking about, callers? Well, we used to do this thing called Mad Lib. And if you listen now, you probably know we did it. You're probably aware that we, every single week, would do a Mad Lib game where there was a lot of pomp and circus pants around it. It's really, you know, and because it was all so pre-internet, it was really the way that we built community for the radio show. Because, of course, Bubbles in the Think Tank on Sanitary Outhouse before it. One of the few radio shows out there with a mission statement. We encourage literacy and personal growth through telecommunications. I would say that even with the changing technology, we have maintained that standard. But that back in those days, that's why we all knew each other. We didn't all know each other, but we all talked every week. People grew up with us. Like Mr. Rhythm Man said earlier, for the better part of a generation, we were doing that. And people stuck with us, and they stick with us to this day, many of them. And those that don't still pop their head in on not so rare occasions, it's a lovely thing. But we would do these crazy Mad Lib games, and everybody would call in. I used to carry, God, I don't even know what the number of books was at the end. K-Tuff, do you know? Do you know how many books I was carrying? It was heavy. It was over 30 Mad Lib books at the end. I would carry them every single week to the show. And we would make the initial call. The initial caller would select which Mad Lib book we would use. I would shuffle them wildly, and that caller would choose a number. Oh, and then the co-host would cut the deck, and then the caller would select a random number from one to whatever that number was, and it was an ever-growing number. I'm really glad I don't do the Mad Libs now, because they are cranking them out all the time, and they're absolutely ridiculous titles that I'm really glad I don't own. Just want to say that for the record. But and then once we would select the book, put all the others away, be down to that one book, then I would start flipping through the pages, and the caller would tell me to stop, and whatever one that we stopped on that was not completed would be the one that we would do that night. So it was completely random. Callers never knew the context of the Mad Lib, and then we would take all the calls, read it back at the end. Hopefully it was funny. When you hear the radio obituaries, which before we do the obits, I'll talk a little bit about the origination of the radio obituaries and how we got here to WMFO, because they are deeply, deeply intertwined. Inextricably, you might even say. Completely lost where I was going there. But yeah, so we did the Mad Lib games. Oh, the calls. Yeah, so each of the calls. Not all of the calls, but the first six calls, each were named, and then the final five calls were named, and those are the same names that you hear today, reverentially, in the radio obituaries. Sacrificial, initial, post-initial, next, cleanup, AI, Weasel, pre-antepenultimate, antepenultimate, penultimate, ultimate. Did I say sacrificial back at the beginning? I think that I did. And so that's where those names come from. And it started out with just a few. I think it was just initial and post-initial, and then the final four entries, and then we never left well enough alone. Because that's how we tend to do things here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. We have been called a show of excess. With a little bit of inside ball. Yes, that's what we've been calling it for 30 years. Used to do the anniversary show every year. Used to be, I would play back an entire Mad Lib game. Once I moved here, though, it no longer felt appropriate. Just didn't seem right. It didn't seem to fit. But one time I did this crazy, crazy episode where, and it's right here next to me, the cassette that was used for this particular crazy, crazy episode is right here next to me. It was an episode called Read Backs to Back. And it's just a series of Mad Lib readbacks at the end of the program. I don't remember, you know, I was looking for, you know, some well-labeled episode of Bubbles in the Think Tank on cassette that I would go look at it and go, oh, I know exactly what that is, but, you know. Actually, I was hoping I'd find the Emo Phillips interview. Oh, I've totally skipped all the celebrity stories, but I digress, as frequently I do. But yeah, so this was an episode of all readbacks. And so I thought that I would play two or three of them right now, right here, just the beginning of the readbacks that were played during this particular episode. I don't know what's in here. I just rewound it, queued it up to the beginning, and that's what we're going to hear. So I'm not even sure. Knowing me, it's probably going to be a variety of people doing readbacks because we've got a lot of different people who read back over the years. So that's a whole lot of story for, let's hope it's a good return. As we listen to some Mad Lib readbacks. I don't remember what year we did this episode. I'm guessing it was probably the late 90s, but I'm not at all positive about that statement. So we'll figure it out. We'll keep going. Oh, and I realized that January Fairy thing. I think that was much later than what I was originally thinking. So never mind. Don't worry about it. She was around. We had a great time together. That was much later than I thought. What did we always say? They all run together here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. Well, do not call 749-1444 because this evening's Mad Lib, which is called A Review of a Monster Movie.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Has been completed. Please, please stay tuned for The Late Late Show with Ed. A new movie has just opened called The Teenage ANSI Terminal Emulator meets The Slaughtering Vampire from Outer Space. At the opening, we see the teenage hero, played by Boris Karloff, who is a fuzzy scientist. He's trying to build a blistery monster out of old Valkyries and used butts. The monster has fluorescent purple skin.
Oh, great.
And 42 arms. And is played by Stimson J. Cat. Suddenly, the monster comes to life and kidnaps the beautiful heroine, played by Michelle Pfeiffer. Then, he begins to destroy Charlotte, North Carolina. In the end, the monster is destroyed by the vampire, who is played by Steven Seagal. And the hero and heroine live largely ever after.
Okay. And that's it. Tonight's is a double Mad Lib. And there's one page and it has two short ones on it. And this is how it goes. The first part is a weather report. And it says, here's tomorrow's weather report for Melbourne, Florida and vicinity. Early tomorrow, an excessive front will collide with a mass of hot strippers moving from the north. The phones are ringing off the hook. Early tomorrow, an excessive front will collide with a mass of hot strippers moving from the south. From the north. This means we can expect zestfully green winds and occasional Diet Cokes by late afternoon. I'd almost bank on it. Wind velocity will be 8 miles an hour, and the high temperature should be around -0.05 degrees. So if you're going out, you'd better wear your buffoon. Oh. That was very good.
That was very good.
Items from a gossip column here. Arthur, King of the Britons, and Betty Grable were seen last night at the 23 Club holding arrows. Could it be romance? International playboy David Hoffman and stage star Marilyn Monroe are expecting their first baby in November. Belinda is denying stork rumors, but yesterday she was seen buying a maternity love. Ooh, are you denying stork rumors?
Quite.
Categorically?
Oh, golly. That was a good one.
Well, do not call 749-1444 because this evening's Mad Lib, which is titled The Secret Agent, has been completed. Please stay tuned for The Late Late Show with Ed. Harry Bond, Secret Agent 0012, was in a tight spot. He was trapped in the prestigious jungle of Belgium, and the pan-European deviled eggs were closing in. He glanced at his companion, Cyndi Lauper, who he had rescued from a vampire of Prism. He was about to flagellate a bone out of his holster when he felt a cold, heterogeneous matter in the small of his bed knob. "Put up your broomsticks," his companion said. "I, too, am a spy. My real name is Olga Wazua." "Oh, joy," exclaimed Bond. "This will cost me my Christmas bonus." We've done this one before in a different book. I'll tell you that right now, because this was a relatively Virgin Mad Lib book. But that's okay, I don't mind. It was still fun anyway. Well, do not call 749-1444, because this evening's Mad Lib, which is titled Rock Collecting, has been completed. Please stay tuned for The Late Late Show with Ed and Laddie. Or at least Ed.
I know Ed came in, so we'll see Ed.
"I have this great hobby. It's rock collecting. It's not hard. All you have to do is go to a place like Plant City or Cincinnati and pick up a lot of fast rocks. You will find spirited rocks and mineral-enriched rocks. You will also probably find a few extension cords. Put everything in a recycling bin.
Oh, that's great.
Then you can take them home and study them silly. You will have some rocks that are morbid and some plain old sandstone chairs. Pick out the smartest rocks. Then you can polish them and use them to make bracelets.
That's great.
It is a lot of fun, and who knows, you might even find a valuable bird. Don't call 749-1444 because this evening's Mad Lib, which is entitled Dogs, has been completed. Please stay tuned for The Late Late Show with Laddie, right here on WAIF. It's often been said that a dog is a man's best colostomy bag. Dogs are the very hottest and can be taught many grim tricks. A dog can be trained to carry a chain in his mouth. And if you throw a big turd, he'll run and fetch it. Dogs will also bark briskly if a burglar tries to break into your remote control during the night. One of the most popular canine pets is the Candy Spaniel. Spaniels have curly lemon-yellow coats and very wheezy ears. They also have very insatiable dispositions and live to be 33 and a third years old. Other popular dogs are the Gaudy Terriers, German Ghouls, and the Butthead Poodle. Every home should have a loyal dog for a battle axe.
Yeah. Not bad.
Thanks.
not call 749-1444 because this evening's Mad Lib, which is titled Rockets, has been completed. Please stay tuned for the Late Late Show with Ed right here on WAIF. Space travel is the result of the discovery of rocket power. Many years ago, a European milky gelatinous substance named Dick Van Dyke began experimenting with a long, hollow human skull that had an explosive mixture of sodium and beaten brass peacocks at one end. He put his hanging device on an inclined board and aimed it at Cairo. Then he poured hydrochloric grape Kool-Aid on the sodium, and the whole thing laughed for 10 minutes. When he regained consciousness, he said, "Cool!" and packed up his clothes and antennas and moved to Amsterdam, where he married a festive widow who owned a frog shop. Some years later, the world became aware of rockets when a scientist at Hell, Wisconsin University, named Judy Tenuto, sent off to Walmart for one. And that is why today we are able to fly positively to the moon. Well, thank you.
The ultimate call, we hope. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
How you doing tonight?
Okay, how are you?
Really fine.
Well, listen, Andrew, you're the ultimate call, and we got to get out of here, so I need a Nowen, please.
Nowen?
Yes. You can tell he's listened before.
A Nowen. Kazoo.
Kazoo. All right.
Give me a song real quick.
What is it?
Frankenstein.
Yeah, I just heard that not too long ago.
That is a great song. Real fresh.
Enough.
That's great.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
All right.
Edgar Winter. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's one of the stupidest songs in the world, I'll tell you. Okay. Here's tonight's Mad Lib, and this is a newspaper article, and it goes like this. What are we listening to underneath here?
I don't know
either.
Das ist gut gewesen.
Who knows? Oh, wait a minute. Is it Proud Mary?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Newspaper article. Mrs. Fifi Vanderbold, the most inebriated and fuzzy heiress, has filed for divorce from her husband, Percy Vanderbold, the former greasy, slimy container of Harvard. Class of 38, now in the lucky astrology mood watch business. Mrs. Vanderbold claimed that her husband had steadily given her a pair o' boots in the eye and kicked her twice in the postage and handling.
And with that, there we conclude another episode of the Mad Lib. Let's see, what happens now? I guess I read the sucker. But first, hey, it's an organ swell. It's an old joke, but I have to do that kind of stuff. Okay. Whatever. All right. This Mad Lib is entitled The Three Little Pigs. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs who decided to build themselves houses. The first pig was erotic, and he built his house out of sea lions. The second pig worked very lackadaisically and built a house out of boobs. But the third pig was moldy. He built his house out of toes and spam juice.
Yum, yum.
Oh, man, I wish I could read this like the Conrad guy who did The Lone Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could do it like that. Then one day a big wolf came along. When he saw the first pig's house, he ejaculated and he laundered until he blew it down. Then he blew down the second pig's Pepsi enema. But no matter how hard he tripped, he couldn't blow down the third pig's lawn chair. The moral, once the dirty sock comes home to roost, it's too late to whitewash the walls.
That makes loads of sense.
Yow.
Do not call.
She's got sugar dip kisses,
sugar dip kisses,
and cherry dip charms,
cherry dip charms,
and I melt like butter,
melt like butter,
in a honey filled arms,
honey filled.
Well, she's a cake baking baby,
oh what a baby,
and I love her pies,
love her pies.
She's a cinnamon sinner,
selling lollipop lies.
Well, she's got sugar dip trimmings,
sugar dip trimmings,
sprinkled with lime,
sprinkled with lime,
and a heart of a lovin',
heart of a lovin',
is cooking all the time,
cooking all the
time. Well, she's a cake-baking baby,
oh, what a baby,
and I love her pies,
love
but
her
she's
pies.
A cinnamon sinner, selling lollipop lies. Who's gonna buy her lies? Today, who's gonna be unwise today?
Well, who's gonna need, who's gonna need, who's gonna need her sympathy?
Who but a fool like me?
But she's my marshmallow mama,
oh what a mama,
with a jelly roll heart,
jelly roll
well,
heart.
She's a sweet tooth teaser,
oh what a
who,
teaser,
who can really play her part?
But I think she's Satan's sister, wearing a disguise
for my cinnamon sinner, selling lollipop lies.
Let's get in the mood, a real groovy mood. Let's have a party. Let's get in the mood, a real groovy mood. Let's have a party. You're sitting down looking sad and blue. You know tomorrow wasn't promised to you. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Don't sit around and get old and gray. Put your clothes on, baby. Let's go out and play. Let's have a party. Let's have a you don't live but once, and baby, that's all. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. Let's have a party.
Yeah!
You are still in tune with your freeform radio station. It is WMFO Medford. I remain Belinda. This continues to be Bubbles in the Think Tank. We're always thinking about our future. That's how we made it to 30 years. And that's why you need to go to feedthepig.org. Let's see here. Quick question out there was, and I actually meant to say something back around that concrete dovetail call way back in the beginning of the program. I know, it's been forever. It's been forever. I don't know how you keep up with me. But he made reference to various catchphrases, you might say, here at Bubbles in the Think Tank. He's a shower, not a grower. Flattery will get you everywhere at Bubbles in the Think Tank. The Lucky Pierre. You know, we had a million of them. But somebody asked about the Double Dong Dare You. And that was something, I don't think we ever said it during the unsanitary outhouse years. And that's why we say that we've been Double Dong Daring You since 1990 and not since the very beginning. Because that's definitely something that came along in the later times. But I don't remember exactly the derivation of it. And it could have just been one of those moments where I garbled up my words and it came out better. It's been known to happen a few times or two or 20. So I don't exactly recall. But that's why it's from 1990, because we assume that it did not happen during the unsanitary outhouse years. That's the only reason. So I don't really have much of a story for you there. Some other day we'll talk about the celebrity stories and all of that business. But the final one, maybe. You don't know what I'm going to do. You can't tell me what I'm going to do. Is about how we got here to WMFO and to the radio obituaries in the way that they are formatted. So after I left Cincinnati and January Ferry took over the show there full time, I never exactly had Bubbles in the Think Tank in its purest form until I came back here. There were shades of it in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And there was something much greater than a shade of it in Mendocino County, California. But it was all pretty hit and miss. Occasional, but it was still Bubbles in the Think Tank, really West at that time. And when I was getting ready to leave Mendocino and come back to the East Coast, I thought to myself, I'm not sure I actually want to do a weekly radio show again. I knew what kind of job I was going to be having, and I knew that I was going to be traveling a lot more, and I just wasn't sure I could do it. I wasn't sure I could handle it. I also knew that I would come somewhere and I wouldn't have my listener base and all of those kinds of things. So I thought, what could I do instead? And I'd had the idea, because I generally don't always enjoy obituaries that I hear on the radio. Now, I'm not saying across the board. Don't go making me sound like I'm that much of a snob, but I am. But that's not the point here. The point is that a lot of times, especially in more mainstream situations, even into the public radio mainstream, and you know what I'm talking about, there's not a very deep dive into a catalog of someone. And I really wanted to be able to do obits for people that you normally wouldn't hear about, and to feature something or other that you probably weren't going to hear. But I had no intention of doing it as a full radio show. What I wanted to do was I wanted to find a home base radio station, because I didn't want to do it at home and produce it at home. Even though I could have, I didn't want to. I wanted to sit in a studio with a real microphone like this lovely thing right here in front of my mouth right now. And I wanted to produce a weekly interstitial 5-minute radio obituary. Probably would only be one person a week. And I would produce it and I would distribute it at no charge to public and community stations, whoever the heck wanted it. That was my plan. But the piece of that plan that was a challenge was finding a radio station in the Boston community that would allow me to do this thing. I didn't think that would be so hard, but it was. It was very challenging. Some stations that will go unnamed, like all of them, would not let me do it for free. They would want to charge me. One station wouldn't allow me to do it myself because I wasn't union. I would have to hire their union labor to do it, but I just wanted to do it myself. There were all kinds of reasons that I did not find a place to do that. And so, you know, I was basically just working through the list of public radio, community radio stations in Boston, university stations. And let me assure you, there are plenty. There are plenty. But so when I hit WMFO on the list, my email starts with, you know, well, I mean, it doesn't start with, but it's essentially, do you have a production studio where I can come produce a weekly interstitial, give the station credit, and distribute it myself? No charge, no profit, blah, blah. And they said, oh, we're having an orientation meeting on whatever date. I said, okay, but do you have a production studio? Why don't you just come and, you know, come to orientation? I couldn't find anybody at that time. And this is many years ago, of course. I couldn't find anybody who would just say yes or no to that question. So I'm like, all right, I'll go to the orientation. Well, if you want to do anything at the station, you got to do 4 weeks of training. Well, of course, I'm not going to say, well, I've been doing radio for blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to play the game because, you know, I understand public and community radio. And I was like, of course, you know, even if I was going to do it in this, you know, just do that 5-minute interstitial, I was going to go to the training because that's what I do. And I was just relating to someone last week that in that training, the person who was doing the training had never played vinyl in the studio. Not sure he'd ever played vinyl in his entire life. But he, you know, I said, hey, would you show me how the turntables work? I wanted to see if they had remote start and blah, blah, you know, all that kind of stuff. No, you don't necessarily know all that stuff, but maybe you do. I don't know. Demystification of radio, okay? But so I just wanted to see, you know, I really wanted somebody's opinion on how well the station maintained their turntables, but he was game. He wanted to show me how to work the turntables here and the other trainees in my class, and he went and got a piece of vinyl and came out and took it out of the sleeve and said, okay, now how many of you have ever played records before? I'm the only one in the group who ever had. And he said, well, you know, for those of you who haven't, the one thing you need to know is if it's a big record, it's 33. And if it's a little record, it's 45. You can always be assured of that. Again, my story digresses. But the ultimate end of the story is, no, there was no production studio. Now there's a second studio, but at that time there was not. And I would like to thank supporters of Bubbles and the Think Tank for helping to pay for building that second studio. Thank you all very much. There will be a donations drive coming up this spring, I am sure. So just, you know, put that in your hat, keep it there for a while. But so, at the end of the training, they handed out forms to get radio shows. I'm like, well, maybe I'll just do the radio show because it's so freeform here at that time. They didn't care what you did. As long as you didn't have dead air, followed all the rules, they didn't care what you did. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll just come in there and I'll just produce it live on air and then start, you know, distributing. And that never happened. And here we are. Was that a ridiculously long story to say, now it's time for the radio obituaries? It's that time each week where we say farewell to those who have passed in recent days and weeks? I thought it was. We'd like to thank Vince over at themusicsover.com for all of his assistance. By the way, you are in tune with your freeform radio station, WMFO Medford, which I have to say, I love being at WMFO. Interestingly, I have a much denser population of potential listeners here than I ever had before, but I feel like I have fewer listeners in the actual listening area than I've ever had before. It's an odd feeling. Okay, what was I doing here? Oh yeah, I was going to do the initial radio obituary for Ray Colquard. He was an American film and TV composer. He worked on series like 227 and The Facts of Life, Silver Spoons, Boy Meets World, did all kinds of stuff. He was the governor of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, and he just did lots of that kind of stuff. Not extremely well known, but quite prolific. Even was responsible for getting Aerosmith signed to Columbia Records, co-produced one of their records. He was the first musical director of the Groundlings in L.A. He did stuff. He was a keyboard player, too. But Ray Colquard just passed away at 66. And we're just going to jump in and do a couple things from his spectrum of work in the initial radio obituary right here at Bubbles in the Think Tank.